Hello and welcome to there's and welcome to the I think it's the 10th night of is this the 10th night? I think it is of Millennial 2018, and I should say first, Martin Lichtmess has had to cancel for personal reasons. It's a damn shame. I was really looking forward to that one, but and I think many people were. He was one of the most requested guests. But hopefully we'll do something. I'm sure we'll do something at some other time. The itinerary for this evening is I know in an hour, well, in about 40 minutes from now, I'll have Frode Midyard from the Skansa Forum. I managed to reschedule that, and then at an hour after that, the Boer Republic, and then I'm not sure what's going to happen with the Lad Society and the Bronx Blogger. Because there's now a gap in that schedule where Lichtmess had to cancel, but I'll update you along the way. But first, it's Carol from the Dancing Dove channel. So, Carol, welcome to Millennial.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. So, why don't you introduce yourself and your channel to the audience, because some people won't have heard of it yet. Well, you go ahead.
Okay, well, my channel is, I suppose, very diverse. That's its strength.
Is it vibrant?
It has extremely. I hope. So I do a couple of things. Like I talk about some current events going on in Europe, mostly focusing on Ireland and Spain because I'm Irish and I live in Spain. But also across the Western world in general. And I also like to do some short Irish lessons on my channel because the Irish language, a lot of people don't know about the Irish language if you're not from Ireland or if you haven't been there, but it's very different from English. I mean, a lot of people presume that it's like a dialect of English, like Spanish people, when they're asking me about it, they don't know about it. It's completely different from English. But of course, now the modern words are kind of like that some modern words are kind of like Anglicized, like a mixture of Irish and English, but the old words, like real Irish, is completely different from English. And unfortunately, it's very much it's nearly a, it's not dead, but it's really it has lost a lot. There are not a lot of native speakers of Irish in Ireland.
Well, I mean,
And
now that the globalists have got their teeth into Ireland in multiple ways, surely they will be discouraging the Irish language, I would think.
I would say they probably would. I mean, it's such a pity really because the Irish have fought so long to like maintain the language and of course the whole thing with England and 800 years under English rule and there was always this idea of the fighting Irish and now it just seems so different. There's so many complacent Irish people. However, with the Irish language, there are some areas, some little villages over in the west and the south that still speak the Irish language on a daily basis. So I think that's really, really wonderful. And there are still the Irish speaking areas are called the Gaeltacht, and children still go there. Well, I think it's still going on. It was when I was a child. They have these 3 week programs where children can go to the Gaeltacht and be completely immersed in the Irish language, and it's actually really strict, like scary strict, because you're not allowed to speak English. If you're caught speaking English 3 times, you're sent home, and like there's no refund.
Sounds
So,
like YouTube's strike policy.
yeah,
Well, yeah, but
exactly.
you can see why though, because this is a matter of, well, it's important, but it's also kind of urgent, isn't it? Because how do you save a dying language? You've really got to push it.
You do, because I think once you lose those people who grew up speaking it and speaking it every day, and a lot of them are older people now, you lose that connection. I mean, we still have the language; it's still taught in schools, and like that's where I learned it. I'm not a native Irish speaker. I didn't grow up in one of these villages, but I still love the language. But it's just worrying that it. That we could lose that break in the chain.
Yes, of course. You just said that you love the language. Why do you love the language?
It's kind of funny because I actually used to hate it for a while. And sometimes this surprises people, but when I was very young, I really loved it. In spite of the way it was taught in school, I mean, because I was in primary school in the 90s, and oh, we had this terrible thing called the telegor, which is like a projector. So every day, God, thinking back, it just sounds so ridiculous. Every day there would be the telegor time in the morning, maybe at 10 o'clock. We would close the blinds, put on this projector, and look at these slides, like really old-fashioned, ridiculous cartoon slides of the most basic Irish sentences and stories. And we had to repeat it again and again and again. And that was the terrible thing. We had to say it like, I don't know, it felt like 50 times.
It sounds mind-numbing and very boring, and the kind of thing that would just turn you off and make you hate a subject.
Yeah, I think that there's a big problem with Irish in schools in that respect. A lot of it is just so boring in that way. So I really loved it for a while when I was young, just because I think I really like languages. And then just I think because of the way it was taught in school, and I was thinking more of the future then when I was a teenager, and I was like, is this going to be useful to me in my life, in the world? I'm wasting so
What an
much
ironic,
time.
what irony there, because we don't know how the future is going to plan it. And obviously at that time, and I remember the 90s as well, we thought the yeah well whatever we don't need to go into that. The point is that the future now could be, well, there are different extremes, aren't there? And depending on which, if we do go well, if we, as Europeans, come to turn back to our ancestral cultures, national cultures, and so on, then obviously the language is going to be a major part of that. It's going to be extremely useful to you.
It is, and for a while, for a good couple of years, I just saw it as something completely irrelevant and pointless and annoying and a waste of my time. So this would be, for example, when I was in secondary school, so from about 13 years on, because then we started learning French. And suddenly I loved French much more than I loved Irish, and I wished I could just stop studying Irish, but they force you to study Irish in school. That's the kind of the sad thing, that like you have to, unless you have an excuse not to study Irish, like if you're foreign or if you're half foreign or born in a different country, then you get an excuse from Irish classes. But otherwise, you have to study it. It's not an optional subject. So you have like 14 years of Irish. But yet, at the
Yeah,
end of it,
no,
hardly anyone can speak Irish.
I've got to say though, that is interesting, because that implies that whatever mixed kids are less Irish than the real Irish kids.
Yeah, I'm not sure of like the exact specifications of who has to study Irish and who gets away without studying it. But I remember when I was in school, definitely people were excused from studying Irish because of their ethnicity
That does,
or.
someone's just, I think someone just said that, I think that that sounds like a 90s policy, because it sounds like, I suspect that nowadays they probably would try to integrate the, the foreign kids into this by getting them to learn Irish, so that, you can then, well, that makes it more difficult for people to say that they don't belong in Ireland. Because they're, well, now they are as Irish as everyone else.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's been a decade and a half since I was in school, so I'm sure there have been a lot of changes since then. But yeah, to get back to the point about how I felt about Irish, for the whole, I would say for the whole time up to my leaving cert, which is the final exam, I guess like the A levels in England and Scotland, if I guess it's the same, is it? Then
No,
But
it's a slightly different system. We don't have the leaving certificate, but I've heard about that from a lot of different countries. There, it seems to amount to one thing at the end. But anyway, that go on.
so yeah, for that whole period, I just hated Irish. I was just like, this is not going to serve me in the future. I'm wasting my time. The government wastes money on providing documents in Irish and English. I hate the fact that the road signs are in Irish and English. I just
Yeah, you
really
see, it's amazing.
hated
I had
it.
exactly the same attitude towards. I can never. I don't even know. See, how about this? I don't even know whether the name of the Scottish Gaelic is Gaelic or Gaelic. I don't actually know that. That's how divorced I am from this. But anyway, I used to have that. That's amazing. I don't even know the name of my own ancestral language. But anyway.
Did you have to study it in school?
No. And
No.
I think they should though. But nowadays I think they should. But growing up, I thought this is ridiculous. Like when they started doing like railway tr the train station signs in English and Gaelic and things like that. And I thought this is parochial and backward looking and all this. But now I think they absolutely should do this because
So funny, we've had
it's
the
obvious
exactly the same.
that. Yeah. It sounds like we've had exactly the same trajectory here because it is a crucial component of identity. It does give you something to fall back on. It does give you a respite, a refuge from, the globalized world, and the pause as well, because the pause is conveyed through, well, English. And if I don't know if I need to explain that term, it's a everything that comes with modern shitty nihilistic culture can be collectively referred to as the pause. And but the point is that ancestral cultures are obviously a respite from that, and they are conveyed by these languages. And I think it really seems now to me like a natural way to do this. And I really think that the government should push this.
Yes, I agree. I think as you get older, you just see the importance of these connections to the past and everything that our people have been through and worked for in the past. It's not just so much more about what can I get out of it, like my thought with it, I want to study French because then I can get a better job worldwide if I speak French instead of Irish. And now I just have a completely different attitude.
How did that change happen? I mean, I realize this is probably a long story, but if you can, summarize it. I mean, no, I don't mean to be cold here, like just,
No,
10 minutes.
it's I don't even really know how to explain it. I mean, I don't know. I guess it was just like a slow progression. I mean, from like, for example, age 18, I had a fierce hatred for Irish, but I was really good at it. So, like in my Irish class, I just never bothered really putting in effort, but it was in all the things I did, I got good marks, so I just kind of put it to the back of my mind. I remember the day before my leaving cert, it's in two parts, so you have paper one and paper two in Irish. And the day before the leaving cert, I barely studied at all. I walked into the exam, my teacher was like, "So, Carol, are you all prepared?" And I was like, "No, I didn't study." And he was like, "Oh my God." But in the end, I got a B1, which is like between 80 and 85%. And I remember being happy that I didn't get an A because I didn't want an A in Irish because I hated it so much. It's so such
That's
a
amazing.
ridiculous
It's like you're
attitude.
allergic. It's like you're allergic to it and to your own heritage. What was it? But was it just the language, or was it the whole what that represented, what that linked to? Like, the identity and the heritage and so on.
What a good question. It was, well, partially because, as I said before, I thought it was a waste of my time because we just spent so much time on Irish, not so much in secondary school, but in my primary school, I went to a convent school. So much time was spent on Irish and religion. And I just felt like this is so, when I got a bit older, I thought this is like just a waste of time. And it's also, it's a difficult language. And it's the things that they teach in school, they don't really teach you how to have a conversation. I mean, there is an oral part of the exam at the end where you do have to have like a fake conversation with the teacher at the end, talking about anything. They can ask you about anything, you have to respond. So I guess that's good. But, you know, apart from that, they teach you old stuff, like old poetry from the 16th century, words that aren't used anymore. And like, that's important to know, but it shouldn't be the most important thing to teach to teenagers who are supposedly going to carry on this language for the rest of the Irish people. So it was that as well. And also, you know, at the time, in regards to the culture and country in general, I did think Ireland was boring and other countries, other cultures were more fun and more exotic. And
the word is vibrant.
Vibrant, sorry. That's it. Yeah. So I really did think that. I thought, you know, Ireland is just kind of boring and pointless and everything else is better.
And did you also think that it was sort of closed-minded and conservative and, you know, stupid and that kind of thing?
Not so much, because at that point we were already getting more modern. I mean, we had the big Celtic tiger. I don't know if you've heard that expression before in the
90s. I've heard it, but I don't know what it means, actually. I don't know what it refers to.
So things were going, well, I was quite young, so I don't know all of the exact details, but things were going really well at the end of the 90s. I think a couple of American computer companies came over and set up, like Intel, Hewlett Packard, and suddenly we had a big boom, and suddenly there was, you know, money everywhere, and house prices were going through the roof, and, you know, everything was going really well. People were making money everywhere. So it was like called the Celtic tiger, because the economy was like a tiger. It was doing so well. And partially, actually, that was what kind of annoyed me about Ireland, because the way it was kind of being packaged and sold to, from what I could see at the time, you know, I was younger, but from what it packaged and sold to Americans as like, oh, look at Ireland. There's no place like Ireland. There's no one like the Irish. That annoyed me, the way it was being marketed.
Have you ever seen Star Trek Voyager?
Yes, I used to love that. It was on at like 1:30 in the morning. I used to stay up and watch it.
You remember that ridiculous, well, I mean, you know, that Irish, on the holodeck, they had the Irish village thing. Was it something like Sweet Haven, or it was some name, and they had all these ridiculous, stereotypical Irish characters. And it was all so nice. It was just so sickly sweet. It was just awful. And of course, it's really weird because, quite a few of the actors, like the actress Kate Mulgrew or whatever, who played Janeway, she was obviously Irish. And then there was the guy who played Paris. I think he looks Irish. And there were several other characters. And it's obviously a huge thing. And the Americans just seem to absolutely just fall completely for this Disney village version of Ireland. And so they had it in this program, and it was relentless. Every second episode of this series, I don't know which season it was, they were going to this thing in the holodeck, and it was sickening. Not because it was Irish, but because it was this just sickly sweet version of it.
That's funny. I don't actually remember that. I mean, I watched a lot of Voyager, but I don't remember that. Maybe I.
Well, I mean, it's. I think it was maybe just like in the second or third season of it. I'm not sure, but it definitely annoyed me at the time, because it just seemed so, well, simplistic and cartoonish and nicey. But anyway, I've gone off on a tangent there.
No, but that's kind of, you know, you're underlining my point that that's what really annoyed me at the time, back around, I don't know, end of 90s, beginning of the 2000s, this kind of marketing of Irish and Ireland to mostly Americans. So that was another kind of something that led me to have a kind of a negative view about the whole thing.
I see. So the sort of Irish identity at that point for you was either irrelevant and old, or it was something cheap that was being sold to Americans.
Not cheap. Overly priced,
Oh, overrated. Right. Okay. I see.
yeah.
Right. Okay.
Because
So
that
then.
was back in the time when the prices were going up, getting a bit nostalgic now, but I really noticed it because I was in school and buying my lunch every day, I would always buy the same things and they were absolute crap. It was like Coca-Cola, a bag of crisps, and a chocolate bar. So terrible. But I would go to the shop and I would notice the price going up like 1 or 2 cents every day around the time that we changed the euro, because a lot of companies, took advantage and rounded up. Yeah, it was like obviously the food and things like that were getting more expensive, but everything in general was getting extremely expensive. And the houses, of course.
So
But I
then,
guess it was kind of the same everywhere, maybe in Scotland as well, house prices increasing dramatically.
probably I wouldn't have known. I was, I had other concerns. I wasn't that practical
Oh,
back then.
really? Was I
But.
remember, even though I was young, like maybe 12 or 13, the house price thing was so big, and we were moving house at the same time as well. So, it was kind of talk in our family. Me and my sister used to get the Sunday Times and the papers that had the properties sections. And I used to read to her the 3-bedroom house in Dundalk, 2 bathrooms, large garden. I would say, guess how much? Guess how much? And we used to play these games of guessing prices. And these houses were going for $500,000, these like
Oh
normal
yes.
semi-detached houses.
But didn't that also result in ghost towns being built, like estates? Was that the result of this?
I'm not someone who knows that much about the whole
Well, I heard on and
crash.
read a few years ago that there were these housing estates that had been built and then nobody had moved into them. So they're just
There.
it's like something from a zombie film, that post-apocalypse, just a dead estate that was all ready to, have people in it. But
Yeah, the
I don't
same
know.
has happened in Spain as well. It's
Oh yeah. It's happened in several in several countries. But I don't want to talk about this because it's economics. I want to ask can you remember how this all changed for you? Because it is interesting how you could start off with this attitude. It's just justifiable. It's understandable that you had this attitude. So then why do you now run a nationalist YouTube channel?
Reality. just really seeing reality. It having gone to different countries as well, I think was a big part. So like different countries, I've been to a couple of different countries in Asia, and I had a great time. I'm not saying anything bad about those different countries in Southeast Asia and India, but I think it really does make you appreciate home and not only Ireland but Europe in general. To just realize, kind of just look at the size of things, how small we are, how different every culture is, and how special every culture is. I'm not only saying, oh, it's only the Irish that are special, but every culture is special in its own way. And I don't want us to lose that and just become nothing or all the same. And I think what we have in Europe and Ireland is, I think what happens is why I thought Ireland was boring and Europe in general kind of just boring or normal.
Yeah, the
It's,
default vanilla sort of
yeah,
thing.
you don't realize maybe that other. I guess I used to. Sometimes I compare it to like living with your parents, right? So maybe it's kind of boring or serious when you're a teenager, and maybe you look at some other people who are always having parties in their house and they're always drinking in the evening and they can do whatever they want and it looks like more fun. But then if you change and you go and live somewhere, you go and live in the fun place, you miss the stable things and the security and somebody has to pay the electricity bill so you can have electricity, so you can have a normal life, so you can feel comfortable. You have to think about these things and just the maintenance and things like that. So I think now I appreciate all of these normal things much more than I did in the past. So things that I just took for granted.
So then, what does Ireland mean to you now? Like when, if I know that's a very broad question, but go for it.
Ireland is, well, Ireland is home. Ireland will always be home to me. It's the sad thing is that it's changed a lot in the last few years. A lot of people ask me why I don't live in Ireland, and one of the biggest reasons why I don't live in Ireland is, I know it sounds weird because to some people it's not important, but plants and the length of the growing season, because I just really love being around greenery and nature. And while Ireland is known as the Emerald Isle, it's not really that green all year round because once you get through winter, it feels like you're just waiting for ages for the first bit of greenery to appear or the leaves on the trees. So that's one of the reasons why I don't live there. But what it means to me is, well, it's just home and it will always be home, a very special place, a very unique place that, and I don't want it to change. And it has changed so much in the last few decades. I remember the first time I saw an African man in Ireland. And I because it was so exciting to see a foreigner. And when you think about how different it is now, there's only 81% Irish in Ireland. And I remember I was in Quinsworth, which is an old shop which has now been taken over by Tesco. But if anybody remembers Quinsworth, maybe have some happy memories of that shopping chain. And there was this man, and I was like, oh my God, he's so different. And I remember saying to my mother, why is that man brown? And my mother was like horrified, and she was like, oh my God. She just said to me, because God made him that way. And I said, but why did God make him that way? So, it was just this real confusion that this foreigner, I couldn't understand how people could be so different. And that was in the early 90s. So when you look at it now, it's just changed so much. It's not exciting anymore when you have someone from abroad, when you see a Chinese person or something, it's just something
Yeah,
completely normal.
nothing is exotic anymore.
Yeah, it's all just run of the mill, part of the usual thing. And so Ireland to me will always be home and a very special place, and that's I just really wanted to stay as it is. And I'm not saying stay Irish. Ireland is only for the Irish. Like I have no problem with people moving to different countries for a while or forever, as long as it's for the reasons, for the right reasons. There's such a big difference between, for example, I'm in Spain because I like Spain. I'm not here to get some free payment and promote the Irish culture in Spain. I'm here because I appreciate the country itself. And I think it's migration these days is just not really about bringing something new or appreciating the country that you're going to. It's more about looking for what you can get. Just saying, I'm not against people moving to different countries.
Do you think you'll ever move back to Ireland?
No, I don't think so.
That seems a real shame. I mean, it seems like you're very attached to it.
Interesting. I suppose it is in a way, but it's just so cold.
Well, that's what you're evolved for.
maybe, but it's just the coldness, the long, the plants. I'm not even really a big sunshine person. I don't like really tanning or going to the beach or anything like that. But and Spain does get cold in winter, of course. It does get quite cold. In a lot of my videos, I'm already wearing hats and scarves and things like that. But it's the plants and the greenery. I don't know. I'm very visual. Like when I need to look at nice things, I need to have nice things around me. And by that, I mean mostly plants and green things like that. So, and my husband is Spanish. So, and he hates the cold as well.
I see. So, tell people briefly about your YouTube channel.
So it is, well, as I said, I look at some current affairs, mostly based around Europe, focusing on Ireland and also Spain, things that are happening mostly with migration. But also I do the Irish lessons. They're quite short. They're just a couple of, you know, handy phrases that I also write out phonetically, because to read Irish, if you've never seen it before, it's a bit complicated to understand. I do some stuff on birds because I have some birds. I like to rescue birds and I find them very interesting. And also old literature. For example, at the moment for the Christmas season, because apparently it's an old Christmas tradition to read or to tell ghost stories like around the fire. So I'll be doing a couple of ghost stories over the Christmas season. I've already done one, but we'll be doing a couple of more until New Year's. But I do kind of old classical literature in general anyway. And I think that pretty much sums it up.
Okay. All right. Well, let's leave it at that. So thank you very much. And thank you for explaining about the Irish language and what it's meant to you at different times. I mean, it is a confusing age to live in, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, we're hearing so many things from one side and maybe feeling different things or knowing different things. Like naturally, and it's sometimes it can be hard to know who to listen to or who to trust.
Yes, I understand. Okay, well, we'll end it there. So that was Carol from Dancing Dove. Thank you for appearing on Millennial.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Okay, and I'll be back in about 10 minutes with Scanza Forum. So I will see you then.